Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad to have you along with us here on Reading the Word as we begin a brand new course of study today. Yes, my name is Justin Reed, and I'm honored to have you along with us here as we do our best to open God's Word, read it for ourselves, and study to see how we can be approved by God. If you want to study this lesson again or share it with someone or any of the ones preceding it, you can do so anytime online, absolutely no cost to you. It's at readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio program and programs, and from there you can find all of them. Now, this is 112. That's our episode or program number, but you can find all the preceding ones there, and you can download them. You can listen to them straight from the website. Never a charge for that. Put the resources out there, hoping that you might benefit from them. Feel free to use them in a class, in a study, however you can for the benefit to the glory of God. My name is Justin Reed, and with that last name, let's read the Word, shall we, here on Reading the Word. I want to talk about the profitability of Scripture. The profitability of Scripture. And I really want us just to kind of narrow in on one verse, if you will. And that's found, or a couple of verses, I should say, in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse number 16, we'll read it and then kind of get us some context after we read it here. Paul says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Now, I want to go ahead and give you a biblical lesson here. My mother's an English teacher, so certain things about grammar just pop out to me more than I found, just kind of through conversation, more than they do for other people. Notice how verse number 16 ends. That's what you call a semicolon. That's not the end of the thought. That's not the end of the sentence. It's a period. So, dear friends, as you're studying through Scripture, just because the verse may end in a comma, may end in a semicolon, that's the one with the comma with a dot over it, or colon as well. Just because you have that doesn't mean you should stop reading. Get it in its whole context. It was just broken up into verses for you and I to have a better chance of reading it and studying it, but originally it was not written that way, so keep going. Back up. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Another quick little Bible tip before we get into the profitability of Scripture. If you'll notice as you're reading through it, I'm reading from the King James Translation, there are a couple of words that are, the letters are slanted. We call that italics, right? If you're on a computer, that's Control-I or Command-I, depending on if you're a PC or a Macintosh person. But that's to draw emphasis to it. When you come across a word in italics in Scripture, that means that was supplied originally by the translators to help the sentence flow. Since it was not written in English, New Testament's written in Greek, and then it had been translated into a couple of different languages, into Latin, and they compared to Greek and other languages by the time they made an English translation, at least a good English translation, I should say, complete, rather. They added a few words here and there just to help us better understand. So sometimes I like to go through and read it again without these italics. So, for instance, verse 16 says, all Scripture given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But you see, you take out that verb is, it's just a boom, 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 boom. If you will, here are some things that you need to know. What do I know about 2 Timothy? Well, it's arguably the last letter that the Apostle Paul writes in prison. When he gets out of this imprisonment, he will be beheaded by Emperor Nero, lose his life for the cause of Christ. So this is a very personal letter to a man that Paul first meets in the 16th chapter of Acts on that second missionary journey, also called Timotheus in Scripture. Mother was a Jew, dad was a Greek, if you will. Paul had him circumcised, and Paul converted Timothy and often calls him his son in the faith. So when you look at the book of 1 Timothy, you see instructions to a young preacher that Paul's left in Ephesus. And you see the same thing in 2 Timothy, but to me it's just even more personal. He talks about that personal relationship you have in Christ. In fact, seven times in 2 Timothy do you see that phrase in Christ. That'd be a fun little side study for you. But here he's talking about at the end of chapter 3, he says in verse 14, to continue in the things which you've heard, learned, and been assured of, that you've learned them from a child. You've known the Holy Scriptures, notice this, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Then he talks how all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We're going to have those two verses memorized, I think, by the time we end our lesson. I tell you what, stay with us on the other side of this short little break. We're going to talk about these four things that he says Scripture is profitable for, okay? So stay with us. Going to invite you to join us here at the Arlington Church of Christ. Brother Dearman's going to pick that up, and I'll join you on the other side of the break here on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman, and glad to be back with you as well. My name is Justin Reed, and this is Reading the Word. If you're just now joining us, welcome. You can, if you missed any of this program, want to hear it again, you can do so anytime online at readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio program. This is program 112, The Profitability of Scripture. And we've kind of been narrowing in on a handful of verses, if you will, in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're talking about profitability. Profit. There is something good in profit. You run a business, you look at your profit and loss statement, your P&L. You want to have more profit than you have loss. That's the same way in the Christian world. We want to look at what is our profit. And so by looking at the profitability of Scripture, and I love the way Paul loves lists. I love lists as well. Notice what Paul says. All Scripture, verse 16 again, 2 Timothy 3, is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Number one, what is the profitability of Scripture then? It's for doctrine. What do you mean? Well, it keeps us from error. Doctrine, it keeps us from error. Doctrine, simply teachings. You know, you have the Monroe Doctrine, for instance, in world history. That was so other people could only come so far and encroach upon our area, if you will, written by James Monroe, former president of these here United States, named after him, therefore the Monroe Doctrine. It kept other people from erring, coming into our territory where we would have to go fight them. The same thing here with the Doctrine of Christ. We call it His Last Will and Testament, or the New Testament, if you will, the last 27% of Scripture. Doctrine keeps us from error. I think about the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus, that's the book of laws. That's how I remember it. The L's there is the laws. And it told the people what to do, what not to do, how to live, how not to live. And if they were to abide by these laws, these rules, these teachings, it'd keep them from error, simply doctrinal error. Dear friends, I'm afraid too many people in the quote-unquote religious world, they're not concerned on the doctrine, and that's why they keep erring. They keep bringing things in that the doctrine, the commandments, the teachings of Christ, just simply say, get about as far away from it as you can. And that will lead to their destruction. So, the inspiration of God's profitable, number one, for doctrine. Number two, keep going, for reproof. I often, before I did a whole lot of studying, thought, well, that's almost redundant, right? Doctrine and reproof. But notice this, doctrine keeps us from error, and reproof keeps us from sin. That doesn't mean we don't sin, but it tells me what to do. I need to be kept from sin. Now, of course, no man is perfect. We know that. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If all, then I. I am a sinner, dear friends, and you are a sinner. I don't glory in my sins, as neither should you, although a lot of the sinners that are alive today hadn't figured that one out. They glory in anything, it seems, sadly. But we see when it's profitable for reproof, that keeps us from sin. I think about what James says there at the end of James chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Well, how can I know what's good? Well, I've got to keep the doctrine, and I've got to read the reproofs. I've got to know, for instance, that I shouldn't go out and kill someone. I know that's a sin. How do I know? From a simple study of God's Word. So it is profitable for reproof. That keeps me from sin. We keep going on. And once again, it seems almost redundant, but it's not. He says it's profitable for correction. Keeps us from failure. You know, we don't often like to be corrected. You don't like it when the boss shows up at your door and says, well, you need to do this. I got to correct you on this. You made a mistake. You had a typo. You said something you shouldn't have done, or you didn't do something you should have done. He corrects you, or she corrects you, to keep you from failing at it again. The Hebrew writer goes on to say very eloquently in the 12th chapter that nobody likes chastisement. Nobody likes to be corrected at the time. But in hindsight, you realize it was to keep you from falling, from failing again. No child likes to be punished, but as an adult, they can see why they were punished, because they kept sticking their finger in the light socket. They kept sticking their hand on the hot stove, and so they had to be corrected for that, or else it could work out to their detriment. Well, Scripture does the same thing. It keeps us from failure by correction, and sometimes it's an easy correction. Sometimes it's painful, but dear friends, if it keeps us from failing, it's worth it. Finally, Paul says that all Scripture is given for instruction in righteousness. We talk about instruction. Those are teachings, righteousness, things of God. When I think about instruction in righteousness, that makes me think it keeps me from being foolish, or keeps me from foolishness. Now, the fool has said, Psalm 14:1, 53:1, that there is no God. He says that in his heart. Keeps me from doing foolish things. When I'm instructed in righteousness, Paul writes to Timothy, he says in 1 Timothy 3:15, I'm writing so you know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. He's saying to keep you from being foolish. When you assemble together, we know on the first day of the week, every first day of the week, we partake the Lord's Supper, we give, we pray, we read, and we sing without any musical accompaniment. That's New Testament teaching, dear friends. But I know that because of the inspiration, the profitability of Scripture, the literal God-breathed. That's what inspiration means. It means it is God-breathed. But notice how Paul closes this out. Verse 12, after you have doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now when he says perfect, he doesn't mean, look at you, there's not a blemish on you. Look at you, you made 100 on your test. You got a perfect score. Perfect there means complete. If you have doctrine or proof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that means you are complete, thoroughly furnished, thoroughly equipped, if you will, literally perfected unto all good works. That means I am lacking nothing. Makes me think about what Paul would say to those in Ephesus. Put on the whole armor of God, chapter 6. He doesn't say you can pick and choose which pieces of battle armor you want for the war. You put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. It's the same thing here with God's teaching. I can't just choose the doctrine and the instruction of righteousness, but leave out the reproof of the correction. No, friends, I must have it all in this verse, like four pieces of a puzzle, in order to be complete. That way I am able to go out, fight, and vanquish the foe. Oh, what motivating words from Paul to his son in the faith, as you will. And I hope they have been motivating for you, dear friends, just as they have been motivating for me. I do appreciate you spending some time with us here. Looks like the clock on the wall says it's about time for us to move on to our next thing today. But I do appreciate you being here. If you want to study this again or share it with somebody else, I would be greatly honored if you feel free to do so. You can do so by going to readingtheword.net. That's READING. Readingtheword.net. Click on where it says radio program. You scroll down, there's 112, well, this is 112, so there's 111 before this program, and you can play them there on the web page, or you can download them, send them, whatever the case may be. Be glad if you could use this to study to be more faithful to God. Well, good Lord wills, we'll plan on studying a new course of topic next week, so I hope to be back here, same time, same place. May the good Lord bless you, and may He keep you. Please continue to pray, and thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.